Good afternoon, everyone. We just wait a couple of minutes more to have everybody on board. Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for joining us for our Q4 2021 financial results presentation. This is Emilio Martínez, Codere CFO speaking. Together with me on today's conference call, we have our CEO, Vicente Di Loreto, and our Co-Managing Director, Alejandro Rodino. As usual, Vicente will cover first company update and the main business highlight of the period. After that, I will cover the financial performance, and then I will give you an overview about how the business has been performing at the start of 2022. After our presentations, we will have, as usual, a Q&A session in which Vicente, Alejandro, and myself will do our best to answer your questions. As usual, you can post your question at any time during the call in the Q&A window accessible in the upper right-hand side of your screens. We would like to inform you that in April, the company's annual report will be published with the audited accounts, and we will be also publishing the usual annual reporting pack. Now, handing over to Vicente.
Thanks, Emilio. Good afternoon, and welcome to our 2021 fourth quarter results presentation, and thanks for joining us today. I would like to start by highlighting that after two difficult years due to the global pandemic, the end of 2021 could be considered as the beginning of a new era for the Codere Group. Not only as we can now get the business back open, but also with the completion of the financial restructuring and the online transaction. The combination of which allows us to progressively normalize the company and put the group back on a growth path. We completed the financial restructuring on November 19, with approximately 98% support from our bondholders. With this transaction, we received a cash infusion of 225 million euros and capitalized more than 350 million euros of debt corresponding to the pre-existing debt instruments. As a result, the Codere Group is now in a more robust financial position and with its entire business portfolio intact. The restructuring resulted in the operating part of the Codere Group being transferred to Codere New Topco, the new holding company, which we refer to as Nueva Codere in our communications. This new entity is 95% owned by holders of the pre-existing senior notes, and the remaining 5% is indirectly held by the previous holding company, Codere S.A., which is currently undergoing a liquidation process. The other positive event during 2021 was the completion of Codere Online business combination with DD3, resulting in the creation of the first online gaming operator in Latin America listed on the U.S. Nasdaq stock exchange on December 1st. This transaction has provided Codere Online with the financial resources to continue with its ambitious expansion plan to continue growing in its current markets and entering new markets in Latin America. The company's focus will be on leveraging its business model, successfully implemented in Spain and Mexico, as a basis to boost the development of other markets where we are already present, such as Colombia, Panama, or the city of Buenos Aires. Also on positioning itself as a pioneer in those regions where the online activity could be regulated, such as Brazil, Chile, Peru, Uruguay, and other provinces of Argentina. Now, I would like to highlight the importance of having a robust corporate governance focused on providing stability and generating value and growth for our shareholders. After the restructuring, a new board of directors was established, chaired by Christopher Bell, non-executive independent director with more than 30 years of experience in the gaming industry. He is accompanied by seven other board members with significant financial, investment, and business management experience, including Antonio Moya-Angeler, a qualifying shareholder director with more than 20 years of experience in company boards and in the private equity industry with a focus in Latin America. In my case, as you already know, after being CEO of Codere since January 2018 and 35 years of an intensive professional career, I will transfer my executive duties to Alberto González de Solar and Alejandro Rodino from the start of July, both of whom will be appointed co-CEOs of the group on July 1st with an interim transition period that has already started. That is why Alejandro Rodino is accompanying us on the call today, and we will continue to do so in the future. This has been, for me, a lifetime decision made when we have completed both the operational transformation and the financial restructuring of the group, which have been important milestones for the company and for myself. I will continue to be committed to the project as I will remain as a board member subject to shareholder approval and also a senior advisor to the management team. We have also been reinforcing our management capabilities through the appointment of Antonio Zafra as Legal and Compliance Director, who has a vast experience in regulated environments, most recently at Bankia and Iberia, and Fernando Pombo as Director of Strategy and Corporate Development, with more than 25 years of experience in strategic planning, consultancy, and finance, and also more than 7 years of gaming industry experience acquired with us in the past. Going to the business, despite the fact that the health situation due to the pandemic was not fully normalized, Q4 2021 has delivered a positive result for the group. After Q3 recovery, Q4 has continued the uptrend of the business, achieving 85% of Q4 2019 revenues with a progressive reopening of all of our operations. In terms of revenue recovery by country, most of them have followed the upward path seen in Q3, with Spain, Argentina, Panama, and Colombia leading the recovery, followed by Italy, despite the impact of the required COVID certificate to access any indoor place in that country. On the other hand, in Mexico, recovery continues to be slower than in other geographies, mainly due to the fragile recovery of the Mexican economy, coupled with some operational restrictions still affecting the business. Going to the first quarter of 2022, I can say that despite the impact of the Omicron variant, we continue to see encouraging revenue recovery across operations, which Emilio will develop in further detail afterwards, and we expect to reach 2019 revenues by the end of 2022. We are currently discussing the new business plan of the group with the board. Current discussions are related to the level of growth ambition we will pursue, with a prudent approach to cash management once the company is completely back to normal and we reach a performance in line with pre-pandemic levels, which is our clear number one priority in the short term, now that we are finally leaving the pandemic behind us, or at least that is what we expect. In any case, our main growth opportunities will continue to be online and the Spanish and Mexican markets. In the meantime, we will continue to strengthen our management team, our technological platform, our operational excellence, and our omnichannel offer, all of which will allow us to continue improving our performance and leverage on future growth projects. The group is in a good strategic competitive position to move forward and will resume its growth path once our current normalization phase is over. Now, I'm happy to hand it over to Emilio for a deeper analysis of the financial performance of the business. Emilio?
Thanks, Vicente. Before I jump into the figures, let me remind you that Unless otherwise noted, we will be referring to figures in euros, and in all, EBITDA numbers are post IFRS 16. As a result of the restructuring, the Codere Group has been transferred to Codere New Topco, the new holding company. With regard to the 2021 results, the group should be understood as Codere New Topco S.A. and its subsidiaries. It includes Codere S.A. and Codere Luxembourg 1. From January 1, 2021 to October 2021, from now on, however, these companies are no longer part of the group, and they will not be taken into consideration. I would also like to point out that as we continue to work through the business plan in conjunction with the board in the coming months, we will be discussing with the market regarding the most appropriate KPIs to report and what disclosure to make to track progress of the company and its plans. We look forward to these discussions with you and hearing your views. Rest assured that our investor relations, me and my team will of course be available after this call and happy to discuss questions you may have on public information so that you can update your models and projections. We know you have a job to do too. We respect that, and we'll do what we can to help. Moving on to Q4 2021 operating results, I will focus first on the evolution of our revenues, the most relevant indicator of how we are progressively coming back to normality. Starting on page 8, Q4 revenue growth improved year-on-year 2.2 times, even though it was impacted by the increases in COVID cases since the end of November. The comparable in 2020 was obviously affected by significant closing and operating restrictions. Over 2021, revenues grew consistently, reaching 299 million euros in Q4 2021, which equates to nearly 85% of what we generated prior to the pandemic. In Q4 2019, this increase is mostly due to the low comparable last year, where we were closed or barely reopened across a significant part of our portfolio. It also reflects an almost 25% sequential improvement versus Q3, partly due to the positive effect as a result of COVID restrictions being lifted and the recovery strategy plans were executed. On page 9, you can see the evolution of revenues in the last 2 years and the recovery with respect to  2019. The strong upward trend following reopening of halls and softer pandemic restrictions show the resilience of our business. At the country level, starting with Mexico on page 10, revenues reached 54 million in the quarter, or in other words, two times of those of Q4 last year when we started to open our operation on a smaller scale. A stable recovery in visits is in place after the last September COVID waves. Our gross gaming revenues slowed down in November a little bit, mainly due to the increase in pandemic contagion. As Vicente mentioned before, progress in Mexico continues to be sluggish and lagging behind other markets as we are still facing restrictions on safety distance, age, and alcohol and tobacco sale in some regions. Also, some regions require the COVID passport to get into the gaming halls. On top of that, the slow macroeconomic recovery is far from helping. Nonetheless, in Q4 2021, we reached 74% of 2019 revenues. Moving to Argentina on page 11, revenue reached 66 million euros in Q4, mainly driven by a slot performance, continuing the robust growth started in Q3, despite continued capacity restrictions. This revenue generation in the quarter represents 87% of Q4 2019 in real terms, adjusted for inflation. Since December 2021, COVID passport is mandatory, but gaming halls are progressively increasing capacity. This aforementioned trend in revenues is driven by a higher spend per visit due to several initiatives, including product pricing, CRM, and recovery efforts targeting high-value customers. Looking now at the Spanish operation on page 12, we see a strong revenue recovery both in AWP and sports betting, reaching 42 million in Q4 after a difficult start of the year with severe restrictions in place. translating to a solid 32% year-on-year increase. The business in Spain showed a very strong growth along the year, but unfortunately, it was affected by higher restrictions in some regions. From mid-December onwards, due to the Omicron variant, impacting the positive trend achieved until November. Even so, Spain performed reached 89% in Q4 versus the same period in 2019. In Italy, on page 13, despite restrictions like the Green Pass, the Italian COVID passport, we can see an improvement of 15% versus Q3 because of the recovery strategy put in place. If we compare quarterly revenue with prior year, there was a significant growth of close to 50 million euros during Q4, mainly due to 2020 hard closing, which started in October. After the strong recovery in revenue since the reopening, the impact of new restrictions since mid-December has softened this trend, reaching 85% in the last quarter of 2021 versus 2019. The VLT business was the most affected comparing with 2019 due to higher gaming taxes, higher retention on prices, and the need to present the COVID certificate to access leisure venues. As you probably know, these terminals are mostly located in bingos. Looking at Uruguay on page 14, our revenues were up almost 6% to 12.6 million euros in Q4. Reflecting the revenue recognition mechanics, whereby the closing that took place between March and August last year impacted accounting revenue since Q4 2020. But on operational basis, the business is performing very well, achieving Q4 94% of 2019 revenues in local currency. Also, we should start seeing that flow through to accounting revenues in the second half of the 2022. On page 15, revenues in Panama reached 16.5 million in the fourth quarter, more than two times versus Q4 2020. In Colombia, revenues reached almost 4 million euros. Results in both markets compare very favorably versus last year, as they were closed or barely reopened then. Both Colombia and Panama keep their steady revenue recovery trends into the fourth quarter. Colombia is showing a strong recovery since Q4 2021, driven by the good performance of our casino line and the opening of a new casino, Ensueño, in October, reaching 81% of 2019 revenues in Q4 versus 2019. Meanwhile, in Panama, the softening of the restriction had a positive impact in Q4, reaching 81% of 2019 revenues. Finally, just to say a few words on online, as they now report on a standalone basis, and in fact, just finished the result call a few minutes ago. Still on page 16, we had another positive quarter with 9% revenue sequential growth versus Q3 2021 to 22.4 million euros, driven by both Europe and Latin. I encourage anyone willing to learn more about their performance to follow them directly at codereonline.com. Moving on to the liquidity and credit section, starting with the free cash flow on page 18, you can see that the growth seen in Q3 continues in Q4, standing at 30.2 million. As previously mentioned, I would like to highlight that cash generation and liquidity preservation will continue to be a key priority for us in 2022. On page 19, you can see that we reduced overdue commercial payables by 19 million thanks to increased activity levels, which allow us to catch up with suppliers in accordance with negotiated payment plans. Overdue CapEx payable have also been reduced by 13 million, and deferred gaming taxes were reduced to 32.5 million. I would like to mention that the normalization of commercial payables will continue to happen gradually into 2022. So it means that payables overdue produced during pandemic times will be resolved as the business continues to recover. Lastly, on page 20, we can see the results of the refinancing that the group concluded in November 2021, where 46% of senior notes have been converted into equity of new TopCo. 29% of senior notes were converted to subordinated PIK notes, and finally, remaining 25% was maintained as reinstated senior notes. Super senior notes have been increased at the same time by a new issuance amounted to 225 million euros, which allow us to have a more comfortable situation to face the day-to-day operation. This improved capital structure, together with the commitment of our new shareholders, provide us with a platform to generate growth and profitability in the medium to long term with a more robust financial structure. Concerning interest expense, the refinancing has allow us to considerably reduce the expenses, taking us to an annual interest of 104 million, of which 67 are cash interest versus 135 million, 86 cash interest as of December 2020, including the PIK component. As you can see in the cash balance graph, the 2021 final results shows 222 million euros, of which 128 million correspond to the retail business and 95 million correspond to the two online business. Finally, I will give you an overview of main strategic and operative plan for 2022. After a couple of years of lockdowns and countless restrictions on face-to-face operations, business normalization is now underway and is a key priority for the group in the short term, allowing us to recover turnover close to pre-pandemic levels, which we expect will be between 95% and 100% of Q4 2019 revenues in Q4 2022, once the pandemic becomes endemic and restrictions are fully lifted. Notwithstanding the Omicron variant arrival at the end of 2021 and January 2022, we expect to achieve our planned performance for the whole year. January was a month impacted by Omicron variant in our main geographies. However, this gap is being recovered thanks to the good performance in February and March, when the business has performed better than we expected. Furthermore, our operating model has been delivering enhanced efficiencies during the pandemic, and we expect to retain some of them, helping us with margin recovery. However, notwithstanding the positive signs that we already see in 2022, we should not lose sight of the economic environment, which remains unpredictable, taking into account the new macroeconomic uncertainties we are facing, which with an overall increase in inflation rates and unemployment, the conflict between Russia and Ukraine and its economic consequences could affect consumer spending power and slow down the recovery, especially in the European markets. Liquidity is a key priority in our agenda, and we are expecting to land in a range of 85 billion-95 billion euros. This is just the retail business I refer to now, not online. This will be after payment of a scheduled Q1 interest on our debt and repayment of some payables deferred in the end of the last year. I would like to emphasize that we are working on a roadmap together with the board of the company, and once we have defined it, we will set the scope of financial and operational KPI disclosure going forward. I will leave it here for now. Thank you very much for listening. Vicente, Alejandro, and I are now happy to respond to any questions you may have, which in case you haven't done so already, you can type directly into the Q&A window on the right-hand side.
Thank you all. This is Alejandro. Pleasure to meet you. We're going to go to the first question, which is related to the EBITDA margins. Given the good recovery in revenues in 4Q 2021, can you elaborate on why margin seems to be lagging more than expected? Can you further elaborate on when do you think post IFRS 16 EBITDA margins can get back to 2019 levels? As we mentioned, we're still early in the recovery. We're still 15% behind, 15% behind the revenues in 2019. So of course, the fixed operational cost basis is still affecting us. And the recovery has been uneven through different markets where we have different, if you want, EBITDA margins, no? And then also we have had some gaming taxes increases, although minor, but that is affecting also the margins. With respect on when can we get back to 2019 levels, although we are not giving any EBITDA guidance, we could be around those levels when we reach around 95% of the revenues that we have in 2019. With respect to giving some color, it says performance versus the first Q of 2021. I guess you're referring to first Q 2022. We can say that we are performing a little better than we expected for the year. Okay. So now, if you want, with respect to the exceptional cost of Q4 of circa 61 million, I will let Emilio answer that question.
Yeah, thank you, Alejandro. Well, the question is exceptional cost Q4. Approximately 61 million. Could you please provide a breakdown, especially amount related to the financial restructuring and the online from the online transaction? Well, our non-recurring items, I mean, basically for the whole year 2021, it was 93 million euros. Okay, and the split between both of them is retail. These are online business is amounted to 35 million euros, basically because of the combination of the DD with DD3 capital. Then on top of that, we have some non-recurring because of financial processes, which is around 5.8 million euros. And also coming from the online project, okay, as I mentioned before, another 6 million. Okay. This is more or less how we are, you know, dividing this this cost. Second question is about Q4 working capital inflow of 24 million. Can you please provide a breakdown in cash outflows related to the various overdue payables? Well, to answer this question, in fact, yes. I mean, the amount of the working capital that we have first of all a big positive effect, which is coming basically, as I mentioned before, due to the online business, which is amounted to approximately 44 millions. Then on top of this positive 44 million, we have also a negative impact in the taxes amounted to 50 millions. Okay, and then the operational one, in the operational impact, there is also a negative 11.7 millions, which is basically compounded by one negative impact coming from the payables, okay, that we have during the year, and then a couple of two positive effects of 13.7 million and 3.5 million, which are 3.5 million coming from the Uruguayan business due to the mechanical, receivables, and the rest close to 14 million, they are coming directly, from extended payables, which most of them, 7 million, are coming directly from the online business. And the last one, we have another positive effect of close to 12 million euros in the other section, which is basically compounded by the 9 million euros for personnel cost. Okay, reduced by just 1.5. So this is how we how our working capital is composed.
Okay. Then
next one, cash fund. Cash balance in Q1 has been 30 to 40 million. Could you please explain the drivers? Sure. I mean, as you mentioned, you know, during the presentation and also reflected there, the main cash out of the company during this first quarter, it was compounded by basically the coupon payments, as well as the commercial payable that we had overdue during the last year. And also we have the long-term incentive plan, okay, which was also delivered during the quarter one in 2022. This is more or less the full information.
So now we will answer. There's a question about the restart of the discussions on the partial disposal of your Uruguay operations. Do you want to take that?
Yeah, I take it, Alejandro. No, the answer is no. I mean, we analyzed that in the past because it was tactically a very good opportunity in terms of price and in terms of partnering with someone interesting, but not at all in our agenda today. As we said in our speeches, we are completely focused on recovering normality, coming back to pre-pandemic levels, and we are not currently analyzing any strategic decision in terms of our business portfolio.
The next question, if you want to take it also, Vicente, is can we have an update on the license renewal process in Argentina and Italy?
Yes, of course, of course. We'll begin with Argentina. In the case of Argentina, let me begin saying that the process is not clear yet. Argentina is going through a lot of political situations in the ruling party, and therefore they are and we are coming from recent elections also. So they are not they have not defined the final process how it will be yet. As you may know, one of our licenses is expiring by the end of April. We expect that this will be extended until the end of June, when several other licenses in the market expire. We expect that by that time, there will be a clear picture. We tend to expect that the renewal process will be similar to what we have seen in the past. And we are completely focused on and prepared to renew all of our licenses, of course, and in continued conversations with the regulators and with other players of the market to get to that point. And again, we are positive or optimistic in terms of renewing all of our licenses as we have always done. In general terms, and as we are also leaders of that market. Going to the case of Italy, as you know, the network and BLT license expired at the end of last year. It has been extended until the end of June this year. And we foresee that it will continue to be extended for some time, as whatever renewal process or bidding process is launched needs to be before to have a political solution in the country in terms of what will be the agreement between the different levels of government. I'm referring to the federal government and the local governments, and who will regulate to what is a process called reordino in Spanish, in Italy, sorry. And until that happened, we don't think we will have a renewal process, and probably the most likely scenario in our view is that the licenses will continue to be extended, something that we have already seen in the case of the bingo licenses for some years now. We have also need to bear in mind that next year is election year in Italy, and probably in our experience, as we know, these election years are not good times for gaming license renewals, and probably these type of situations prolong these processes. So we don't expect the renewal in Italy to happen this year, and probably will not be the case next year, but we will see. In our view, it will probably happen in 2024.
Next question is for Emilio. Q1 expected cash balance on the range of between 85 and 95 million. Could you please provide main underlying items driving the implied 38 million cash outflows versus Q4?
Yes, as I mentioned before, the 38 millions, okay, we have the coupon payment, okay, which was paid on March, as we have committed with our bondholders. Then also we have paid the LTIP, okay, the long term incentive plan, which was paid in early January. Okay, so it's more or less about 7 million euros. And then on top of that, we have also delivering the payment of some deferred payables, okay, amounted to more or less another 9 to 10 millions, okay, for the first quarter. And finally, the deferred gaming taxes as well, we have paid around approximately between 4 and 5 million euros.
Okay. The next one I will take it is with regards to EBITDA CAPEX and liquidity forecast for 2022. The answer is, if you want the short answer, is that we don't feel comfortable providing EBITDA guidance at this time of the year. We will review that when we publish first quarter results. Because as you know, as we said, the recovery from the pandemic has been uneven. So although we're expecting to reach between 95 and 100% in Q4 2022 versus Q4 2019, we think it's too early to commit to a number of guidance. What we can tell you is that with liquidity, we are going to manage the liquidity with ample room to comply with all our financial obligations. So, next question. Well, it has to be about the license payments due in 2022. Vicente already mentioned that. Next question.
There is one related to the question says something about the rumors about the sale of Argentina earlier this year, and if we are asking if we are evaluating or working on such a scenario, and the answer is an astounding no. I mean, we of course are fully aware of those rumors that came from article in a newspaper, El País, Spanish newspaper. We try to find out where the journalist get his source from. Of course, he was not willing to provide his source, but the reality is there are no discussions around this between the management team and the board of directors. And as I said before, we are 100% focused on recovering the business, and in the case of Argentina, more importantly, renewing the licenses that expire in the coming months.
There's another question. Could you remind us of your ownership in Codere Online after the transaction? The ownership stands at 66.5%. Next question for Emilio. When do you expect to clear commercial payables and deferred taxes of 8.9 million and 32.5 million respectively?
Okay, well, to answer this question, first, commercial payables, okay, which are coming from the pandemic time. Okay, we are going to be delivering this payment during 2022, along the year. Okay, so we will be finishing the overdue payables that we are carrying from the past. Okay. Regarding the deferred taxes amounted to 32.5 million. This is mainly coming from the Spanish, from the Spain, okay? And there is a plan, okay, with the government to pay this amount, you know, along the year. So it means that during this day, 2022, we will be expending a little a part of it. And then after in 2023 and 2024, we will be also paying part of this amount.
Good.
The next question is also for Emilio. Do you think you have sufficient liquidity to see you through 2022? Liquidity looks very tight.
Well, the answer is yes. I mean, after the financial restructuring that we have performed during last year, we received the, I mean, with the new financial structure, okay, we are having extra 225 million euros, you know, to navigate during the year, and also at the same time the interest and the financial expenses, you know, in a way will be also, you know, aligned, or I mean it was reduced as well, helping us, you know, to go through the year. On top of that, as we were presenting before, I mean we are planning to land at the end of the year, reaching the 2019 level of revenue. So it means that we will be starting to generate cash, in fact, right now, till the end of the year in some countries, depending on the speed that they are performing. So yes, I mean, liquidity is enough for this year to cover all of our commitments.
Then I would add to what Emilio just said is that remember that in the short term our maintenance capex is very flexible, okay? So we can always dial that down very very quickly to produce additional cash in the short term, okay? Then with regards to the midst of the guidance between 110 and 99 million euros is mainly due to the impact of the Omicron variant, especially December and part of November. Remember that December and November are high seasonality months for us. So December was an important impact with regards to that. Then the more than a question, the following is an ask. Could the company report cash flow, P&L and balance sheet excluding online business, mainly focus on cash and cash related items? Yes, I think that for further releases of information, we can provide the cash flow, the P&L and the balance sheets only for the retail business. And there's a question about some partnerships in Mexico. I just want to say that we cannot comment on anything on that, because there is nothing concrete. Specifically, the mention is to a Hard Rock project.
Let me add one. But in terms of partnership, you know, as you may know, I mean, 2/3 of our business is in partnership with a local company called CIE, a very healthy partnership. There are always conversations with them in terms of how to go on our partnership together. We are always considering all types of opportunities. As you know, we are leaders in Mexico. Eventually, we would be willing to partner with someone in order to grow our business. And we are always considering all possibilities, but as Alejandro said, there is nothing relevant to communicate today. If we make progress in any type of operation, of course, you will be the first to learn.
Next question is, when can we expect exceptional costs to trend towards zero? To trend towards zero, I think is hard. As you know, and you have followed the company for many years, we have never been in zero on those costs, but it's true that this year they were especially high, but had to do mainly with the online transaction and the restructuring of the group. So we expect for this year to be significantly lower. The next question is, how much are the sustainable cost savings that the company thinks can keep post COVID? Yes, we think that the sustainable level of the cost savings that we can keep post COVID should be around 40 to 50 million euros per year. This one is for Emilio. Do you expect working capital to reverse this year?
Well, in fact, yes. I mean, if we take into account, first of all, during this year, as you can probably see, we have mentioned this during the call. At the beginning of the year, the working capital is a little bit negative because of the payments, you know, the federal payment that we have basically on gaming taxes, as well as the overdue payables, okay, at the beginning of the year. But what we are seeing is that for the rest of the year, the working capital will be close to be, you know, in a normal situation, which is more or less, you know, close to zero or even some positive effects. But if we take the whole amount, I mean, the whole working capital for the whole year 2022, we are expecting, you know, to have this a negative amount because of the impact that we have on the Q1.
The next question is revenue recovery in the month of March 2022. We are seeing around 2 percentage points more of recovery in the whole group versus Q4 2021. So we continue the positive recovery trend.
There is a question related on how we will finance the license renewal in Argentina if it happens in 2022. Well, first of all, let me tell you that differently to what I mentioned for Italy, we do expect that the license renewal will happen this year. I cannot assure. Of course, it can always be extended, but it will highly probably happen this year. We have many different scenarios of what cash implications it would have for us, and we will finance with our balance sheet. I mean, any of the scenarios we are foreseeing applies to the answer Emilio gave before, in the sense that we have enough liquidity to comply with all of our financial commitments, and of course, including renewal of our licenses.
The next question is for Emilio. If liquidity is expected to be between 85 and 95 at the end of Q2 2022, does that mean management expect to burn around 100 million of cash in Q1? I can answer this, Emilio. This is because you're looking at the consolidated cash position of the group, which includes around 100 million of online cash, okay? The cash burn is not that amount.
In any case, Ale, if I read the question well, perhaps it's a typo, but that guidance provided, that range is provided for Q1, not Q2, which is what is mentioned in the question.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Sorry. Yes.
Yeah.
Next question for Emilio. What are any other cash costs aside from the CapEx and the euro 67 million cash interest for 2022?
Well, as we mentioned during the call, in fact, Vicente has already answered, you know, the question regarding renewal licenses. Renewal licenses in Argentina and also one of the licenses in Panama are the main cost, okay, that we will be having during the year, aside the CapEx and the normal cost of the company.
Okay. There is another question related to asking if we have any plans to sell the Italian business, which is a frequent question in all of our calls, I would say. I will repeat, sorry, what I said before. I mean, we are discussing the business plan with the board. We are analyzing several strategic paths, but there are no specific plans in terms of making a strategic decision on our current business portfolio. That includes Italy, at least for the time being. We are actually more prone to think on what we eventually could acquire in the future in order to participate on the consolidation of certain markets in which we operate and which would be value accretive for the group as a whole.
Please. There is one question, which says, what are your CapEx expectations for full year 2022? Do you expect to repay in full the deferred gaming taxes this year? Well, as we mentioned before, we are working on the, I mean, together with the board of directors, you know, to have the final plan. This is of course, you know, part of the full business plan to define exactly the amount of the CapEx that we will be spending during the year. We'll be in line, of course, as we are performing, you know, during the year to try to spend, you know, this money again into the business in order to grow. Finally, the expect to repay in full the deferred gaming taxes. As I explained before, I mean, for the Spanish government, we have an agreement with the Spanish government to pay the Spanish taxes, not in full, you know, during the year. It means we have a plan for the coming years in order to pay the 35 million that we have pending to be paid.
Next question is, will the company be able to apply for ICO loans in Spain and any other kind subsidized loans grants? And comes with another, do you still have people in furlough? We are working, starting to work on ICO loans. We have discarded other type of subsidized loans because for one or other reason, we don't qualify. Yes, we are working on ICO loans. Do you still have people in furlough? No. Almost every employee on the company is out of furlough.
There's another question, again, related to the license renewal in Argentina. The question is, what is the estimated cost for the renewal? No, it's, as I said before, we have different scenarios. It's very speculative to give a number now. I prefer to have more information. Surely in the next call, we will have much more clarity around that. What I can assure you, as I said before, we have all the financial resources to tackle this renewal. Another important comment is that we do expect that a significant part of the renewal cost will be financed by the regulators through some years. That would ease the financial requirements, at least for this year. Okay.
Next question. Can you explain the breakdown of cash burn in first Q 2022? I think we already explained that, but in any case, if there are doubts about that explanation, we can follow up with you on a one-to-one basis over the phone. Next one is, what was business plan EBITDA for 2022? Was it Euro 2024? I guess you refer to the business plan that we published when we were working on the restructuring after the lockup agreement. I guess you're referring to that. Of course, recovery of the pandemic has been much protracted in time, slower. So of course that number for 2022 shouldn't be any type of guidance.
Yeah, Alejandro, and if I may add, I wouldn't call that a business plan. I mean, it was there were some projections we produced when we initiated the conversation with our bondholders related to the what at that time was the potential restructuring of the company that finally, as you know, happened. And it was not a business plan. It was just projections that the company and our bondholders needed in order to have productive conversations. And it was in an information that then we needed to cleanse for our bondholders to be able to continue trading the our notes. Therefore, our business plan, the last business plan was the one that was approved some years ago, and the new one is going to be approved in the coming weeks or months with our board, and of course we will let you know about the main conclusions of it once it is approved.
Then related to or after that question is, why Mexico so weak and Argentina so strong? Mexico was in Latin America one of the hardest hit countries because of the pandemics. Besides the, if you want, the erratic short-term economic policy of the government, which had a significant impact on consumer spending. And besides that, as you know, Mexico has a huge informal economy, so there were very little aids to employees from the government in Mexico. And in Argentina, it was actually the other way around. The government forced practically companies to keep paying employees and gave a lot of help to companies, loans, etc., to keep paying salaries. So I would say that between others, those are the main difference between the two markets.
There is a couple of questions related to the figure that I will take. First is, do you have any short-term maturities? No, we are not having any short-term maturities, during this year. Well, we are, basically, I mean, if we talk about the gross debt that we have, the maturities in 26 and 2027, this is for the corporate senior notes. And then related to the local debts that we have in different countries, like in Mexico and Uruguay mainly, there is no close material, maturity for this year. All of them are about between 2024 and 2025. So no maturities, close to in this year. The second one is how much of the fair gaining taxes will be repaid in 2022, 2023, and 2024? Well, the answer is basically approximately around 14 million euros will be paid in 2022. Or in 2023 will be around 5, and then on 2024 is going to be approximately 1 or 1.5 million euros. So as you can see, the amount will be decreasing based on the, as I mentioned before, negotiation with the government in order to pay these amounts.
There's two related questions related to CapEx expectation, growth and maintenance. Emilio, if you can.
Yeah, I mean, for maintenance in growth, basically growth, as we explained during the call, Our main focus will be basically on a couple of countries, you know, in Spain and in Mexico, where we would like to invest, you know, in order to grow. We are seeing some opportunities in both countries. So we will be taking into account these opportunities in order to spend the money, you know, in this growth activity. And in the maintenance capex, the plan is to be, well, a little bit less, you know, than in the previous years. But the idea is it depends, you know, how the business will be running during the year. Then it means that we will be able, you know, to expand a little bit more, to invest a little bit more in the growth.
Yeah, if I may add, Emilio, I think you focus rightly on retail, retail business, but
yes,
regarding online, of course, there are plenty of growth opportunities we are pursuing. As it was mentioned before, during the call of online, Codere Online, it has been explained in detail, but the Codere Online is fully funded to pursue its aggressive business plan, and of course, it's one of our growth priorities. By the way, there is another question which is related to if there are still costs to be spent coming from the restructuring. The reality is no. I mean, we have paid most of the all of the fees and related transaction costs. The only remaining payment has to do with VAT related to some of the fees. And it would be an amount of around 4 million, but that's basically it, and we are done with the restructuring.
We are already reaching the end of the call, so we will answer the last question, and I encourage you to contact our investor relations department for any further questions with regards to the results presentation. The last one is, what would be the size and purpose of the ECO loans? Basically, we're in the first stages of evaluating the ECO loans, so we cannot, if you want, have any specific answers to this. But eventually, the ECO loans could be to either improve our maintenance capex, or eventually part of the license renewals could be financed with loans.
Yes, but in any case, additional local financing also always will be helpful in order to tackle our growth opportunities sooner rather than later.
Okay. Well, thank you everybody for joining the call. If you have any further question, please feel free to reach out to me or any other member of my team. Thank you again for your time. I look forward to speaking with you about our Q1 results.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.